For I read this scripture that I have in there. Actually, I'm going to say I'm not going to read it. This events of yesterday struck me, probably many of you, and I found myself last night and this morning wondering if what I had prepared based on those scriptures would apply today. The news of the two police officers shot and killed here in Westerville in response to a 911 call. That news traveled around Westerville like lightning in the digital age, didn't it? Posts on Facebook, announcements on Twitter, texts and emails, and finally the more traditional radio and television reports. Kathy and I came over here yesterday afternoon, and our parking lot was full of police cars. Not ours, but the city parking lots behind me. And we stood there as we watched the first of two processions of police cars leave and head south. We stood there and saw police officers with tears on their eyes still doing their duty of directing traffic. We shook hands with very somber city council members. We hugged city employees that we knew. This event made news across the country. My brother and both my sisters texted me because they had seen it on their local news reports. We hear these sorts of things happen. They happen in places like Orlando and Las Vegas, other countries somewhere off there. They don't happen here in Westerville. And so I struggled with that. Westerville is a small town. And I'm willing to bet that we have, if we don't personally have a connection with those two police officers, we know someone who does. Because that's the way it is in this town. The police are in our schools. They are greeting our kids at Cops and Kids Day. They welcome us at the Fourth Fridays. They are part of our community, and as I said, we have a connection, if not personally, next to personally, and that makes this whole thing personal to me and to us. And whenever these things sort of happen, we wonder what's going on in our society, what's going on in our community. We ask, why did it happen? What made someone so angry or depressed or scared or vengeful so as to do this? And why? And we can't help but ask in one way or another, where is God in all this? The sermon that I had prepared for this morning was focused on Psalm 40, which Kim read this morning. And the events of yesterday got me to look at it in a new light. Now, when I read the psalm and I saw that the psalmist, when I read it the first time, I saw what the psalmist was trying to say, and I took it apart as I've been trained to do as a minister and made it an academic exercise. And I tried to put it back together in the form of a sermon today, and then with what happened yesterday, the psalm no longer became an academic exercise. It became a prayer, which is what it was originally. Now, when I read this psalm, I see that the psalmist has been where we are now, in the pits, suffering in ways that are beyond his control, in a hole of despair, and not seeming a way out. The pit of despair. That might be a description of how we feel when events like this happen so close to us. When we suffer in some way, whether it's community tragedy like this or a personal difficulty, we're in the pits of despair, struggling to get out, can't even see the top. And we wonder how we're going to climb out of this, or even if it's worth climbing out of. And the psalmist says, I have been in the pits. The psalmist says he has been there. And yet while the psalm starts in the pits of despair, it ends with the words of praise. And perhaps we can learn then from the psalmist as we begin to move from where we are today to someplace better. And the first thing the psalmist does is to tell us to wait patiently on the Lord. When we are in the midst of pain, whatever that pain, whether it's physical pain or emotional pain or spiritual pain, we want it removed. We want it to end. It's a natural reaction, but the psalmist reminds me that this pain is not removed quickly, especially the pain of grief and loss. It will be a long, slow climb out of that pit. And so patience is a needed attribute. Patience because we will not feel great tomorrow. We hope to feel better, but we won't feel great. Or even the next day. But over time, our situation and our grief will diminish and we will come out of the pit. But while we don't see the results right away, that doesn't mean God isn't at work. God is working in us even now, comforting us, helping us to climb out of our own despair. And when we move into these places of despair, the first place we need to turn to is God. Not to summon God to get to work, but to remind us that God is already at work in us. That God has been there and understands us. When I worked in the hospital as a chaplain early in my career, one of my favorite verses came from the 11th chapter of John. Shortest verse in the Bible, it just said, Jesus wept. The story is when Jesus is summoned by Mary and Martha because their brother Lazarus was ill. And before Jesus gets there, Lazarus dies. And a weeping Martha comes up to him and it says, Jesus wept. Because Jesus understands the human condition. He lived the human condition. He lived our human life and shared our human emotions, especially grief. And so the psalmist reminds us that the path out of our despair, out of our grief, involves patience. Leonardo da Vinci once said, patience serves as a protection against the wrongs as clothes do against cold. For if you put on more clothes as the cold increases, it will have no power to hurt you. So in like manner, you must grow in patience when you meet with great wrongs, and then they will be powerless to vex your mind. Maybe he's right. Patience is part of how we deal with these things. And if patience is the first virtue of the psalmist, there's not an idle patience. The psalmist reminds us to praise God in advance of his delivering power. The starting point for dealing with any difficult situation for the psalmist is to praise God's power and wisdom. God has done great things in the past. God will do great things in the future. And yet we can't always bring ourselves to that point, can we? When I was a young adult, I went on a retreat. With other young adults there, I met a young woman who had had more than her share of tragedy in her 20-something years of life. She had already lost both her parents, and she herself had been in a bad auto accident. And in the setting of a retreat, someone asked her, well, how do you cope with all that? How did you get through all that? And she said, I sang a song. I sang a song that I learned in Sunday school. The song went this way. Love lifted me up, love lifted me up. When nothing else could help, love lifted me up. And she said, I substituted Christ for that song when those terrible things happened. Christ lifted me up. Christ lifted me up. When nothing else could lift me up, Christ lifted me up. Her point was that she turned to Christ when she needed it. Whenever I face a difficult situation, she says, I remember that song. And that Christ loves me no matter what. Holding on to that song and thereby holding on to Christ is what got this young woman through the challenges of her life. Remembering God at work in some previous experience can become the basis for our waiting for God to act in one's current life situation. The psalmist reminds us to start there. God can do it because God has done it. And then there's one more aspect of this psalm that came to me as I prayed over it here last night and this morning. In the middle of the psalmist writes, I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. See, I have restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your saving help within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from your great congregation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. Once one has experienced God's acting in their life, once one has experienced God's saving power, the psalmist says, you need to share that. I think of our situation today and how we might comfort each other, comfort this community, comfort those we might know connected directly to these two officers who died and their families, is to offer to them that God is at work in their lives, in this world, in our community, and not let our lips remain sealed. That's why we decided to put those posters out there so that we might offer words of encouragement that come from this house of faith that sits right across the parking lot from the police station. This church has been the backup for many years for the police family day. When it rained, they were in our basement. When there was needed a high level of security for somebody coming to City Hall, they would post a police officer up in our upper room so they could look out over the whole parking lot. We have a relationship with the police department directly for us. And so I invite you to offer your own words. The other scripture or this Sunday, and the other scripture I was contemplating for this Sunday was this Sunday is Transfiguration Sunday. If you remember the story of the Transfiguration, Jesus goes up on a mountaintop and he is transformed, transfigured is the term they use, that he becomes glowing as if he were glowing white. It was a mountaintop experience. A couple of the disciples were able to go up there and watch him, and Peter, one of them, said, well, let me build some booths so we can commemorate this event. And Jesus says, no. And instead, they go down the mountain, and Jesus resumes his ministry to the people. See, that really is the invitation for us that the psalmist offers us, that we come down from where we are and engage those who are in the pits of their own despair. We certainly have the opportunity to do it in this community this week, month, however long it takes for this community to heal. But it's something that we can do as Christians all the time. Or at any given point, we know someone who's gotten a bad diagnosis, a loved one who's died, a relationship that's broken up, a job that is lost, or any of 100 other difficult situations. We then are the ones that can offer words of good news. Amen.